I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Werenski looks it over, around the clock, Panarin, and now Jones with a shot. He scores! Columbus has climbed that mountain, and now they're at the top with 5:55 left. They have a 4-3 lead.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Picked up by Barzell. Emily cutting for the net. Barzell holds. Backhand shot. He missed. And then Bailey scores! Islanders win. Josh Bailey at 4:39 of overtime.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
He's played 40 minutes. Lobs it backdoor. Lehman for the lead. Up top for the two-hand jam. Blazers.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Thursday afternoon.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Did we all purchase our Anthony Simons jerseys yet? No?
No, I have not bought mine yet.
I'm breaking down and getting the first tattoo in my life.
Are you?
Yeah.
Simons on your back?
Simons 34. Yep.
Yes.
Right across the shoulders, maybe.
Absolutely.
Right. That'd be a good look right there.
Most people do like God's kid or a big family last name, yeah, or
chosen one.
Chosen one. Swag's going to go right across the shoulders. Simons.
Simons.
Yep.
Nice to know. Nice to know.
How about that performance last night?
Hey, we mock everybody losing their minds, but
I lost my mind last night, so you're mocking me too.
For those guys who had that opportunity, who have been slaving away at the end of the bench on the scout team all season, that's cool for them.
Yeah.
Like, they had the opportunity. They got behind by 28. They figured something out. Yes, Dave Yeager yanked all his starters and gave him a shot at the end. But to go from hardly ever seeing the floor to playing 48 minutes and delivering, good for them.
Look, I don't know what he'll be, and I can already see Dirt's little smug face here ready to counteract anything I say.
Oh, God, here we go.
I do think you saw why Neil liked
go for him. Sure, yeah.
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 One person's serious, the other person's like laughing, like, oh, this moron.
I love Blazer fans, man. I do. And I'm one. We can't help it. I'm guilty of it. Rewind the tape 2 months ago and listen to what I was saying about Jake Lehman when he was on that streak every night for a month, putting up like 15 points and 5 boards.
I think he's had like one good game since
I was in love with Jake Lehman. Rewind the tape even further to Summer League 2 years ago when Caleb Swanigan was tearing it up and I had Biggie fever.
Yeah.
By the way, he's blown up in Sacramento. Was he that fat in Portland?
No, he's gained weight.
He's
for sure.
He got a little big.
He's got to battle that though. That's like borderline disease for him.
But yeah, so I am as guilty of it as anybody out there. So enjoy your Anfernee Simons fever today.
If they're down 2 or even, let's go crazy, 3-0 in this series,
you want to see him play game 4?
Yeah, I'd be okay with it. I'm all for that.
What else are you doing? You're not coming back from a 3-0
especially
deficit.
Especially if you're not getting, you know, more scoring off the bench.
Which presumably, if you're down 3-0,
I would
that's
imagine
be
you're
a
not getting much.
Lehman's not playing well. Moe's inconsistent. Seth is cold.
At some point.
He should be taking minutes at that point for me. I really do not care about a game 4 if they're already down 3-0. Play that kid as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think that was one of my bigger disappointments this year, was not seeing the rookies very much. And it makes, I mean, you're a 3 seed, you're fighting for a playoff spot, so it made sense. But I'm always excited to see the new guys. The only cold water that I can throw on last night's performance is it was an all-star game. That's it. That's all I got for you.
No question.
Like it was a defense optional game for almost every team in the league. I believe Grayson Allen went for 40. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think Grayson had 40 last night. A little different. It's a little different, right? Grayson Allen's a shooter. Simons is a ball handler.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only thing I got
for you. How many assists did Grayson Allen have?
I have no clue.
Well,
how many guys did he trip?
Probably a dozen.
Simons got you nine.
Sorry.
Probably a dozen.
Yeah, because the whole Simons thing, if you think he's this or he's that or you don't care at all, then I totally understand it. But I watched that last night and I was like, hey, that's a pretty talented kid. And now I tweeted, I'd like to get him minutes as soon as possible. I don't care if it's 4 or 5 minutes. Put him in. He can score. He can distribute. And everybody's like, defense is terrible. And I thought, okay, our defense is great.
Yeah, who else was playing great defense? Yeah.
I mean, Nurkic is out now. This team has kind of fallen a little bit defensively. And let's not act like they're a juggernaut by any stretch.
Right. That was such a that just summed up the Blazers, did it not, last night? Wasn't that just, I mean, such a Blazer moment where you're like down, what were they down, 28 points?
28
points. You're down 20-something at the half.
25.
I barely watched any of it because I was focused on the Stanley Cup playoffs. I knew they weren't playing anybody, so I was flipping back and forth, checking the score. Then they're down by 25. It's like, I'm not going to go back to that game. Next thing I know, group text is blowing up. Like, oh, my God, here come the Blazers would find a way to do this. And I'm like, huh? And I had to change it back. And there they are in the fourth quarter. So that was such a Blazer performance.
Is Anthony Simons taking credit for getting Dave Yeager fired?
I think he should. What? Why am I getting fired, buddy?
Well, you let Anthony Simons go.
Let a 19-year-old kid torch you. Couldn't hold a 28-point lead now, against six guys that never play.
Let me get your opinion on this. Do you buy, the Blazer media, it can be comical at times, and then at the other times I like it. I think it was comical last night. People that were freaking out or upset that they didn't show more interest in getting the 3 seed. Like I said yesterday, I really don't think they care. And then yesterday when we found out that Dame and CJ were both sitting,
sure,
that just proved my point that much more, that this is not, to me, for that team, I don't think it's about at all what seed and what opponent. People have opinions out there that they wanted to lose on purpose so they could get Utah. And I know people on the text line are going to point, look how many players they played, 6. Look at the starting lineup. Yeah. Scott Labissiere and Anthony Simons and Gary Trent. Okay, I get that. And they would say they didn't want to play Oklahoma City. I firmly believe this. I do not think that team cared at all who their opponent was or if they were a 3 or 4. I think that was the plan the entire time because Denver had to win to get them the 3 seed.
And they had a big comeback themselves. They were down in that
game. And that game didn't end till about a minute and a half left in their game. So for all the, why didn't they care more about the 3 seed or they're scared of Oklahoma City? Oklahoma City might be the worst matchup between them and Utah. Sure, but I think they're both terrible. I don't think the team cares. I think they know they have home court and they were going to do what they wanted to do. And that was rest Dame. CJ wasn't going to play back to back. And you just play a bunch of young guys because, again, you have home court. You don't care that much.
I agree with you 100%. I do. I think, especially after a year like last year, maybe they learned the lesson like a lot of fans did, and ourselves included, where you look at certain matchups in the first round and say, ooh, that's a good matchup. We want to play them. Because we were all sitting here a year ago licking our chops about the notion of playing New Orleans in the first round, and then they swept our ass out of the playoffs. So maybe they learned that lesson. It's like, look, it doesn't matter. We have to play better basketball. I think they're a confident group no matter who they play. That's just the nature of professional athletes. And it's more important. I said this on the show yesterday, and I think they felt the same. It's more important to me to go into a first-round series rested and with an extra day off than to try and go out there and play to a certain point, not knowing what else might happen around the NBA last night, because certain teams had to win, other teams had to lose. And I used the analogy last night, like if you sat those guys like they did, they're getting a full 4 days off now. I mean, no, nothing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because they ended up getting the Sunday game one. That is a sizable break for Dame, who's carried this team in the second half. And for CJ, who knows how healthy he is. He's played a little bit, hasn't been great. You want to give them an extra day off. That was, I think, the main thing they wanted to accomplish last night.
All right, let's find out what's on tap.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
I'm glad a listener pointed this out because we were talking about this prior to the show. When they were down at halftime, they were down 25. It was 87 to 42. A listener says at one point last night, their live money line bet was plus 1,900. Can you imagine if you had the stones to just lay a hundo down and say, screw it, let's see if it works?
Down 25 at the half, let's let it ride.
Man. What's on tap brought to you in the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We got a great show today. Blazers Thunder, we'll dive into that matchup. How do you feel about them getting the 3 and playing Oklahoma City versus getting the 4 and playing Utah at the 5? Ben Golliver is going to join us today at 12:30 for the Daily Ticker. We'll get his thoughts on the playoff matchup, maybe the playoffs as a whole. We got the Masters update to get into a little bit. We got some NFL news and notes.
And I apologize if I randomly scream throughout the course of the show today.
Oh, just about the Masters?
Tiger's on the prowl, baby. Tiger is on the prowl.
You made a bet against him, and now you're the biggest fan. It's been my favorite, well, like, six, 7
guy.
Years.
Yeah, my bet's over.
I know.
So I can root for him again. I am on board.
We'll dive into the other playoff matchups. Dirt asked this question. I think it's pretty fair. Is there any other series that's interesting to you in the first round?
Yeah, I'm obviously not an NBA guy, but
I don't think you need to be an NBA guy to identify interesting matchups.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy answer for me on that.
We got Swags Plums at 2:15. Crunch time, of course. We got a good show today. We're on Twitter at 1080 The Fan, at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. And that's what's on tap, brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. We are going to start with the matchup between Oklahoma City. You like the matchup, 3-6, OKC, or would you have preferred Utah, 4-5? We'll start there. Better you today. Text lines 55305. Thanks for being with us this Thursday on 1080 The Fan. Tiger just nailed a 20-foot putt. He is now the co-leader at the Masters in round one with 4 to go.
It's happening. This is happening.
He's at 3 under.
He is 2.
Calm down.
He is like 2 7-foot putts away from being 5 under.
Yeah, well, that's golf.
I know. I'm just saying. That's how well he's played today.
I could point to 3 holes every round I golf and say I'm 3 putts away from being 88 today, but I'm at a 94 right now.
He's driving the ball great. He's not spraying it all over the place. Outside of the 2 short missed putts, I think inside 10 feet this year. I love that analogy, by the way. It's like, that's like me repping my high school football numbers, talking about the NFL quarterbacks. But it's
probably worse, actually.
His biggest weakness is putts inside 10 feet. I think he's like 140th on the tour this year, inside 10 feet. And he clearly has already missed 2, but he's got it going right now.
You know what you're doing, right?
I'm just saying.
You know what you're doing, right?
What am I doing?
Anthony Simons. It's the same
slightly
thing.
Different.
It's the same thing.
Slightly different. Maybe talking about the greatest golfer of all time as opposed to one NBA game.
You're diving
against
in.
No
it's round
defense.
One. You're diving in.
What, are they letting him play from the women's tees? Like the Kings, let Anthony Simons go against the ladies' tees defense last night?
I'm excited. I need to see this continued. That's all I'm saying.
Are you poo-pooing right now? Are you poo-pooing my excitement?
I want Tiger to win as much as anybody.
You're
I'm trying
on me right
not
now.
To get into
dumping
over
on my dreams.
Head.
Dumping on my dreams.
Well, with that being said, the Blazers have first round winning dreams, and they didn't play anybody yesterday. Scalabi Sierra got in the starting lineup with Simons, Myers, Gary Trent Jr.
Layman. They had to use Layman. Yeah. And then Zach Collins played a little
Zach
bit.
Collins
those are the
off.
6 guys that played.
Nobody else played. 6 players. They got down by 28. They beat the Kings. So by that win. And covered. And the
they
Nuggets.
They did, didn't yes. they?
Coming back, wow. They slide into the 3 slot. They get Oklahoma City in round one. I want a reminder here before we dive into this. Oklahoma City has won 5 straight to end their year. Mm-hmm. So they turned it around after their slide post-All-Star break. We had Brett Dawson on from The Athletic, who covers the Thunder, just 2 days ago. And we asked, hey, if they could play any team in round one, who do you think it is?
I think from their standpoint, they have to look at Portland as the most favorable one. They beat Portland 4 times, and Nurkic isn't going to play. And Nurkic has always played really well against them, and he's the guy who kind of neutralizes some of what Steven Adams does well. So I think from that standpoint, just based on they can't get to Utah in any of these matchups, that's another team they swept. Playoffs are a different animal, certainly no guarantees. But I think if they had to pick and they had the option of Golden State, Denver, Houston, or a Portland team that's not going to have Nurkic, they would pick the Blazers.
So right now, Portland is actually the series favorite at minus 118.
Interesting.
And they are the game one favorite at minus three as well, favored by 3 points. What are we thinking about this matchup?
Well, look, maybe some people will get offended by a comment like that. I don't. You're missing your second best player, and everything he said is true.
I think
when you swept the season series.
Compared it to the other three options that they had.
Yeah, of course you're going to want Portland in the first round.
I think, especially
even more, despite what Portland has done or not done, I should say, in the playoffs the last 2 years, you'd rather play Portland with Dame than Denver, who hasn't been in the playoffs yet with this team?
Yeah, I mean, I know Denver is a huge question mark, but they're the second best team in the West, and they're playing with a full roster. Portland's playing without their second best player.
We're the third best team in the West. Did you know that?
Sure, but and their third best player is who knows if he's 100% or not. Like, he's only, how many games has CJ played? Two? Three?
Two
since coming back. So, I mean, we haven't seen a ton of minutes out of him. Maybe this is like the reverse psychology that Portland needed, because everybody last year said the Blazers wanted the Pelicans and they swept us. So maybe this is like, hey, somebody wants us. So that's a good sign for Portland. I think this series comes down to a lot of things, but the two things I look at first and foremost are the health factor of Paul George and CJ. Because Paul George, I know the shoulder's been banged up for a long time, but he's played better as of late. And we need to see CJ at 100% if they want a chance. And I really think, maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but I really think it comes down to game one. Like, when you're on the losing streak that they're on, you fought all season to get home court advantage again. You're on national TV on Sunday. Everybody's well rested. If you come out and don't look good in game one and Sunday doesn't go well and you fall down 1-0 and you lose home court advantage like that again, I think all those doubts and all those questions start to creep in their minds again.
Yeah, we'll see if the series ends up being a series of like, oh man, I was wrong on this, I was wrong on that. But right now, if you just ask snapshot, I don't think they can win a game in Oklahoma City, which makes home court that much more important. And you mentioned game one. Terry Stotts last night on the upcoming series with Oklahoma City.
It should be a good matchup. They've been very competitive games with Oklahoma City last year and this year. Both teams are very similar, both last year and this year. We swept them last year. They swept us this year. It should be pretty competitive.
Yeah, it's also got a little animosity between these two clubs, and he was asked about that as well.
I think you have two competitive teams. When you have a competitive game, in the heat of competition, I think that's kind of a normal thing. I don't know that there's any animosity or ill will or anything like that. I can just say that they've been physical games and they've gotten heated at times.
Damian Lillard was also asked in the locker room about the matchup with Oklahoma City.
Just that, you know, every game that we've played against them, you know, has been a close game. We lost all four of the ones this season, but last season we beat them all four games. So we know that we're capable of beating them. You know, each game this season came down to possession here, possession there. It's going to be a tough, tough series. And I think we got to go out and just be aggressive going into it. Our mentality has to be the aggressor, going there with the attitude that we getting it done.
Well, and this year Dame and Russ kind of got into it in a couple games verbally. So there's obviously a little more to that matchup as well. And he was asked about the individual matchup with Russ.
It's going to be a battle. You know, I know what to expect from him. And, you know, he knows what to expect from me. So being the point guards and the leaders of our teams, you know, we got to go out there and put our best foot forward to put our team over the top, you know. And I don't doubt one bit that he's going to try to do that. And I know he knows that I'm going to try to do the same.
And the competitiveness, like Terry Stotts says, I don't know about animosity. I don't know how you could be on the sidelines and not notice there's animosity between these two
teams.
That's
just probably trying to avoid bulletin board material.
But Dame was asked about the competitiveness between the two.
I think that goes for every team that's playing in the playoffs. That's what it is. I don't think we dislike them. I can't speak for them. But, I mean, once you step on the court, you know, we fought to get to the postseason, and now somebody got to go. Obviously, it ain't going to be no buddy-buddy stuff.
Yeah, so no buddy-buddy stuff between them. Despite being 0-4 against the Thunder, they seem confident that they can go in and pull off this series win and snap their losing streak in the playoffs.
Yeah, as often when you get comments like that, the response is, well, what else are they supposed to say? You know, I don't like our chances. This could be a rough series. Like, they're going to be confident, and you want your team to be confident going into the playoffs. The one thing that I do know for a fact about this series is that it's going to be fun. Like every time Portland and OKC got together this year, it was a fun game. We love in this city hating on Russell Westbrook and booing him every time he touches the basketball. He feeds into it against the crowd, so I think that's going to be awesome. It is a good atmosphere there, so you're going to get a good environment to watch the road games, and it's going to be a tough place to go in and win. The only one that I don't like that's being used, I guess, in favor of Portland, and you heard it from Stotts, is the "we swept them last year." Like, that has nothing to do with what's gone on this season. They had Carmelo Anthony playing key minutes last year. They had a working his way back to full strength Paul George in their lineup last year, not an MVP candidate Paul George that they have this year. So I don't like looking at last, and I think the Portland was a better team this year, actually, than they were last year. Things change year to year. So I'm throw anything out that happened last season. Focus on the matchups this year.
You think Portland was better last year?
I think Portland could be in a regular season. I think they were slightly better this year. I think Nurkic was better this year. I think they improved at other parts.
Oh, okay.
Not right now. Sorry. Because they don't have Yusuf Nurkic. But you have a lot of film to go pour over and figure out what went wrong in those games. Because, like, one of the big things we always say have to go right in the playoffs is that your stars have to show up and have big performances. Damian Lillard averaged more points per game against Oklahoma City than any other team Portland played this year. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 34 points per game, and it equated to zero wins. So that's something you got to go figure out, is we're getting 34 from our stud and we still can't beat these guys. What's going wrong?
There's a quote from Jason Quick, who wrote an article about this team, and now they're getting ready for the matchup and kind of what the season has been. I think it's an important highlight to remember, because NBA seasons, and I think baseball and hockey, if you're into hockey, they can be so long that sometimes things that happen during the season, you're like, that was last year. And then you're like, oh, no, that wasn't.
That was in October.
Here's a reminder. Kevin Durant with CJ McCollum was just right before the year, I believe.
Yeah.
And on that podcast, Kevin Durant, like, dismissed Portland and talked about how, you get basically an 8 seed. And when asked about it in this story with Jason Quick at the Athletic, there's a quote that says, people want to give us an excuse. No Nurk, not a healthy CJ. We don't want it. So, like, now I think this is interesting in the sense of people are going to point to the injuries and say, well, that's why, right? If Oklahoma City wins this in 5 or 6, 7, whatever, they win the series, people are going to point to that, right? And that's a fair thing to point to.
Yeah.
But I want it to be known today on a Thursday, now that we know the matchup going into the weekend.
Yes, we do.
They don't think there is an excuse.
No.
Right? And maybe that's, well, that's the competitive nature in them, Sprague. Right. But they also believe that. If you think that they don't think they're going to be competitive and they are going to have an excuse, then you're going to find out real quick when they're getting killed by 20 points. Right. They believe in that locker room, and that's led by Dame, that there is no excuse. You don't have Nurk? Tough luck. Go out there and ball out anyway. You've lost 10 straight playoff games. And I keep mentioning this, and we're not going to dive into it, but I do find the next 2 weeks or so very fascinating for Portland, in the sense of, if they do not play well and they are down and lose to Oklahoma City, how the fans react. What's the text line look like? What's Twitter look like? Is it really as simple going, well, didn't expect much? I keep hearing Primetime keep saying this. Well, it's not like people expect them to win. I don't know, man.
I don't see that. I think there's a lot of people that expect them to win.
I think there's a mixed bag here of, there are a lot of people that might be, you'd classify as a hater, or in my opinion, realistic in saying, well,
sure,
we'll do what we do. And if that doesn't mean a win, okay, not shocking. I think you also have a lot of people in the camp of, yeah, we're good enough to win the series, and we're worried about who we play in the second round.
Right. There are people that wanted to fight for the 3 seed because you want to avoid Golden State in the second round. And our mentality has just been, let's win one game in the first round first, then we can deal with that can of worms. And if that ends up happening, you beat OKC, I'll sit here and say, hey, our bad. I'm glad they avoided Golden State in the second round. I just want to see that first.
Well, and I don't, again, I don't think this is 10 people on Twitter tweeting about Portland having a shot here. I think there's a real disservice that we're not recognizing a decent percentage of Blazer fans out there truly believe that they could win a first round series with this group as is right now. Mm-hmm. And to take that and add to it, Vegas has them as the series favorite, which I'm shocked about.
In game one and for the series.
Because the Basketball Power Index, take it for what it is, they give Oklahoma City a 59% chance to win that series. And Vegas thinks otherwise. And so Vegas is not in this business of losing money. I know, cliche thing to say. Just, the matchups don't matter to me. If it was Utah or Oklahoma City, you're looking uphill at both of them for different reasons. But I think the city reaction, the feel of the franchise for people if they are to succumb in round one yet again, is it a, well, it is what it is. We have Nurk coming back at some point. Or is there like, make some moves.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some pressure on you. Is Neil's job safe? There's a lot of question marks with it, which I think makes it more exciting for me. Even if people think I am actively rooting against, which is hilariously dumb, I find it more exciting to put those pieces in while I watch the game in the series of like, hey, all these things are kind of hanging there.
This is the best time of the year, man. The playoffs are awesome. The atmospheres in both buildings are going to be great. There's so much anticipation and buildup because of how long the regular season is and because of Portland's history the last 2 years. And now they get a chance, as a lot of players have said, they get a chance to go out and shut a lot of people up. And it starts on Sunday.
Ben Golliver, Washington Post, national NBA writer. He'll join us next, give us his thoughts on this matchup with the Thunder, and then we'll read some thoughts from you guys out there. Do you like the matchup? You're most looking forward to what? 55305. Jump into that a little later as well. But Ben Golliver is next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on The Fan. One stop to make, and it's with friend of the show, national NBA writer, Open Floor Podcast, and Washington Post and WashingtonPost.com is where you can find all of his work, if I can talk properly. Ben Golliver joins us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Ben Golliver. Ben, thanks for taking some time for us out here in Portland, man. I'll just start with the matchup. We were talking about it, and all the moving parts with it, and Vegas has the Blazers as the favorite. Do you like this matchup for Portland?
Well, let me just say, I procrastinated a lot in school, but these Western Conference teams procrastinating to not only the last night of the season, but the last quarter of the last night of the season, the last minute of the last quarter of the last night of the season before they actually set the matchups was really something to see last night. I don't love this matchup for Portland, but first things first, my heart goes out to Jusuf Nurkić because this was the matchup where they're going to miss him the most and the fans are going to miss him the most. And it's just a shame that he's not going to be out there because you could just picture him, you know, close your eyes and picture him battling with Steven Adams. You know, it's going to be a blood sport battle back and forth. And unfortunately, we're not going to get that. I think for Portland, it's a winnable series. I'm picking Thunder in six. But it's not out of the question that the Blazers can get this done. The key is going to be following the same blueprint that other teams have had here the last couple of years. Try to egg Westbrook on. Try to let him do everything. Try to let him beat you from the mid-range or beat you from outside the three-point line because he will get himself so wound up in the playoffs. He will get himself going in so many different directions that he will wind up causing harm to his own team. I think if the Thunder stay oriented around Paul George, if Paul George is able to play like he has throughout this season, and if he's healthy, the Thunder will win that series. If Westbrook goes into takeover mode like we've seen these last couple of years, it's there for Portland's taking.
But you mentioned Jusuf Nurkić not playing. I think every Blazer fan agrees with you. It's a bummer. The rivalry he and Westbrook had built, too, was a lot of fun. How do Cantor and Collins replace him? It feels like it's a two-man job because Cantor's not great defensively, and we know that. And if there's any team that knows how to attack him, it will be Oklahoma City. And then Collins maybe slightly better defensively. How do you think that combo can go about replacing Nurkić?
No, that's exactly the thing. I mean, Oklahoma City should know how to attack Enes Kanter, but let's see if they're disciplined enough to do it, right? I mean, if you have a guy like Chris Paul going at Enes Kanter, you know it's over because he's such a tactician. He's so intelligent. He's going to be able to exploit Kanter's, you know, lack of lateral quickness and his kind of below average, you know, rim protection. But, you know, is Westbrook going to be able to lock in on that weak link and do it over and over again? I think he's going to have to prove that. I think it's a huge matchup disadvantage, though, overall for Portland in the middle. I think Collins is going to be, you know, not really strong enough, big enough to keep up with Steven Adams. And I think with Cantor, I mean, that guy is just a black hole for points for the other team. So if Oklahoma City is able to keep their offense focused, and attack him, it's going to be tough for him to hold up throughout this series and going forward in the playoffs. Yeah.
You know, Ben, I just saw a little snippet. Quick had a quote, and basically, I think you know this as well as anybody else in this city, that if they are to fall to Oklahoma City in round one, Neil does have to tee up. Hey, CJ got banged up late. We lost Nurk for the series. We couldn't have him. It was tough, but we tried. There's a quote in a Quick piece that just came out, basically said, you can give us an excuse. We don't want it. Now, that might run counter to what Neil says if they do fall in round one. How would you view those two things if they are to be eliminated in round one yet again as a fan?
Well, look, it's obviously going to be a contributing factor, an excuse, whatever you want to call it, that Nurk injury. But I like that messaging, to be honest, because if you're a player in Portland's locker room, you're sitting around thinking, hey, we won 50-plus games. We earned this seed. We've got home court advantage. Oklahoma City is not some super team, dream team, Space Jam 2 collection of talent, right? I mean, they've got three or four guys who can play, and Steven Adams is banged up from the other night. His shoulder is screwed up, and same thing with Paul George. He's been banged up here for the last couple of months. So I think you want to project confidence if you're the Blazers. Obviously, you prefer to have Nurkic. Obviously, your season's going to go on much longer if you have Nurkic. But you don't want to start letting those mental seeds kind of plant before the series even starts. Confidence is going to be a huge thing here. You know, if you look back to last year when Utah beat Oklahoma City, their poise, their confidence, Donovan Mitchell rising to the task, Utah's coaching staff making the right defensive adjustments, picking on Carmelo Anthony when he was playing for Oklahoma City, and really controlling the style of play and allowing that to be a defensive series. That's what won them the series. They didn't do anything crazy, spectacular, out of this world. They were just, you know, confident in themselves, their own style, and they took it to Oklahoma City, and ultimately they won. I think you've got to follow that blueprint if you're Portland. Clearly, you can't really match Utah's defense, so you're going to have to, you know, play to your own strengths, and I think that's really where Damian Lillard comes in. It's time for him to have a big postseason bounce back. 18 points per game against the Pelicans, that's not enough. He needs to be doubling that number in this series. He needs to be the best player on the court if Portland's going to pull this off.
Yeah, and on that, how do you think OKC matches up defensively against him? I mean, because last year the numbers weren't great, and it was really the game plan for New Orleans was just swarm Dame and CJ anytime they had the ball, and Drew Holiday and Rondo did a great job of doing that, and then he didn't have role guys to step up. How does OKC match up defensively trying to slow down Damian Lillard in Portland?
Yeah, well, Westbrook is a big physical defender, but he's not the most, locked in all the time or aware defender. He gambles a lot. He's kind of all over the map, so you can exploit him a little bit. The one thing I would worry about is just like the size and the length that Oklahoma City brings to the table, the athleticism. I mean, that's a real factor, and we've seen not only Damian but CJ struggle with some of that stuff in the postseason, so that's something to keep an eye on. I think if I was Oklahoma City, I would be real tempted to just stick Paul George on Damian and just say, hey, let's see how much success he can have. If you can neutralize Damian, you're going to win this series. So I don't know if they'll do that right out of the gate, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the adjustments that unfolds over the course of the series. But there should be the opportunity for Damian Lillard to score points. And look, bottom line, if you're an All-NBA first or second team player and Damian Lillard's now in this conversation, it shouldn't matter the matchup. It shouldn't matter the scheme. You've got to go out there and get your points. Ask Steph Curry what it's like getting bumped around for years in the postseason, getting double and triple teamed and people trying to keep the ball away from you, face guarding you when you're off the ball. That's just life in the playoffs, and I think that's why it's time for Damian here to step up and have a big series.
Yeah, Ben, you said 18 points last year in that series, and I just thought, what? I felt like he scored 4 points per game at some points during that matchup. We're talking with Ben Golliver, Washington Post, national NBA writer, Open Floor podcast as well. Catch you. His podcast as well. On this matchup with OKC, let's not throw Dame in it. I think you can throw Dame in it because everything you've mentioned with he needs to step up and play better. Who is the wild card for Portland that if this person plays well, they will find themselves in a position to win the series?
You know, I would just say the wild card is CJ because of the health factor. I don't totally know what to expect. I understand he came back and looked pretty good in his first game. It's tricky, though, when you're coming off injuries. Can you sustain your quality play? Do you take a step forward and a step back when you're working your way back from an injury? And look, we know they need the offensive scoring balance, and I still don't trust a lot of those wing guys to step up and do it in the playoffs. Like I mentioned, Oklahoma City's got physical, big defensive players. They cover a lot of ground on the perimeter. They've got a bunch of switchable guys. They're not going to be giving all sorts of just wide open contested looks to Portland secondary guys. And so that's why I think, you know, it's incumbent upon, you know, Damian and CJ to sort of rise to the moment here. And I think it's, you know, that's really what I'm hoping to see more than anything from Portland side is, like, you don't have your big three, you know, because Nurkic is not there, but the remaining big two need to step up and do it. And we've seen other guys do that in the past. I mean, you go back, you know, for the Thunder, when Westbrook got injured in that playoff series 4 or 5 years ago, Kevin Durant steps up. You know, James Harden's been dealing with injuries around him all season long. Clint Capella, Chris Paul, James Harden steps up. And so with all those guys, I mean, it's a simple formula. Your best players have to play well in the playoffs. And that's what I want to see from the Blazers.
Yeah, and speaking of health, too, I know maybe some people haven't followed as closely as you, obviously. The Paul George shoulder injury, he's been dealing with it. We all saw the game winner the other night, and I think the numbers have gotten slightly better. But where do you gauge where he's at health-wise?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think we're getting the full story on that. His shooting numbers have not been what they were. I mean, he started this season just red hot, and I was sitting here thinking, like, I knew Paul George was good. I didn't know he was this good. Like, this guy, you know, a top three player in the league was how he was playing there for like 3 months straight. And that seemed like he was, you know, kind of above his own weight class there a little bit. If you go back to his play in last year's postseason too, though, that's another big reason why Oklahoma City went early. I mean, this guy loves talking about playoff P. You know, he calls himself that. He came up with that nickname himself. He did not show up late in that series against Utah. He is prone to have duds in the postseason. It happened back in the Indiana days. It certainly happened last year for Oklahoma City, where if he doesn't have his shot going, their offense is going to grind down. It's going to become too reliant upon Westbrook, and they're going to get inefficient. So, again, I think that's why if you're Portland, you know, you've got some pretty interesting matchups you could throw on them. Aminu is built very well physically, strength, size, and quickness to work on a Paul George. You know, Mo Harkless isn't the worst option. They've got some other options there on the wing to throw on him. I think Paul George is a very, very good player, but he's not like a Kevin Durant-level matchup nightmare or a Giannis-level matchup nightmare where you just kind of throw your hands up and pray. I mean, I think you can have some success on him, and Portland will need to do that.
Yeah. All right, Ben, get you out of here with a two-parter. One, who's first team, Steph or Dame? This is your opinion. And two, how's the series go?
Look, it's Steph, man. I don't think we need to be overthinking this. To me, he's a top three, top four player in the entire league. He missed a little time with injury, but he's been phenomenal. I also think, by the way, his teammate, Kevin Durant, is getting overlooked in a lot of these MVP conversations, too. I know everyone loves to talk about his moodiness and, you know, all this other, you know, drama. Is he going to New York and all this? You know what? He's a baller, and he's been killing it all season long, and that's why they're the number one seed, and that's why they're going to win the finals for the third straight year. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Durant winds up coming home with this third straight finals MVP, and now everybody's ready to say, finally, you know, that he's better than LeBron James. In terms of Portland series, though, I think the Thunder are going to win it in six. I think they've got a slightly bigger margin for error just because of the health factor. I think I would have picked Portland probably in six or seven if Nurkic was healthy, and that shows you what a big blow that injury was.
There we go. Ben Golliver, great work. National NBA writer for the Washington Post. Open Floor Podcast as well with Andrew Sharp. Kind enough to take a couple minutes with us out here in the 503. Ben, thanks so much, man, and let's enjoy these NBA playoffs.
All right, guys. I want to hear that Moda Center loud on TV. I won't be there. I want to hear it loud, though, through the speakers.
There you go. Ben Golliver, Washington Post national NBA writer, has Oklahoma City in six. Says his wild card is CJ McCollum. Needs a step up, and if he plays like CJ, maybe he scores 20 to 27 points per game in this series. That's going to catapult their chances of being able to win.
The fun, unique thing that both these teams have in common is their disappointing postseason last year.
Yeah.
Paul George was a disappointment. OKC lost in the opening round of Utah, a series in which I believe that they were favored. In Portland, we know that history well. So both of these teams are trying to get that playoff monkey off their back.
All right, some more thoughts on the matchup and your guys' opinion. 55305 is the Better You Today text line, and then a loaded second hour just around the corner next on The Fan. We got the rest of the playoffs to give you. Round one, the matchups. Dirt made a good point. Do they all suck? Although I'm not really that shocked that they do. I think we all kind of knew round one was not going to be great. It's more about round two in the East.
Absolutely.
Round one in the East is going to be awful.
Yeah.
Round one in the West isn't going to be great.
Oh, I don't think so. I think the Spurs can take Denver deep.
Hot take.
And I think Utah can frustrate
Ooh.
Houston more than most other teams.
And Golden State goes to five?
No, that will be a sweep. That's a series you don't even have to tune into.
Yeah, that's something like Clipper fan can brag about, but like, you're going to get swept. So
yeah, that's a rough one. That's a rough matchup there.
Let's not deviate away from what we want to talk about here, and that's the Blazers. Who is your wild card? If they are to, as you put it, make you eat crow and win the series, who is it that steps up and gives them that boost?
I like Ben CJ, but I won't steal it. I do think CJ is pivotal to this series. To me, though, it all starts and stops with Dame. Like if Damian Lillard has the kind of performance this year that he did last year, and part of it was great defense, part of it was him just being thrown off his game, part of it was him not getting help from his teammates, but he was not good last year in the playoffs. You don't stand a chance to win in the NBA postseason when your all-NBA player goes out there and is, what, about 10 points below his season average, only 18 points per game? If he comes out and duplicates that, Portland stands zero chance to win this series. Like, he can't do it all on his own, but you need him to be the Damian Lillard that we've seen for large chunks of this season, a first-team all-NBA caliber player, and I think everything else will follow from there. But if he doesn't play the way he needs to, it's over.
Yeah, I'm going to go more the role player route here. There's no doubt that Ben Golliver is right. CJ has to step up and be healthy and play well. And I think you're 100% because of how poor he played last year. Although, to be fair to Dame, they had that stat that they were tracking throughout the series that the open opponents he was hitting, they were making like 20% of the shots that
atrocious.
He was.
Atrocious, yeah.
And so he wasn't getting help from his team. But to Ben Golliver's point, you don't always do that with superstar players. Like if they play poorly, well, it's his teammates' fault. Not all the players get that benefit. So Dame needs to play better. I'm going to go Aminu. I think I go Aminu, one, because of the matchup with Paul George. Can you put enough pressure on him, bother him, annoy him, maybe make him feel a little physically uncomfortable because of the shoulder injury that has kind of been nagging him? And can you make your shots? I think when Al-Farouq Aminu is not only providing great defense, he's an underrated offensive rebounder. I think when he is aggressive and he attacks, he can kind of sneak in there, get you about 3-4, maybe 5. And if he can hit his 3-pointer, we know that makes a difference for them because then you have a drive and kick situation.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that guy's locked in. He's playing well. Mo Harkless is a good one. I know Cantor could be a good one. Maybe Lehman or Hood. I'm going to go Aminu. I think because of what he is going to be asked to do on both sides, he's going to have to take on Paul George more than anybody else. And he did not show up last year and really struggled in that Pelican series. He needs to turn it around, and he's got to shoot better than 35, 36% from three or around that number. And I think the Blazers will have a shot. It's not going to be a great shot. I know you guys think I hate this team, but I'm trying to be realistic here with how I feel about NBA basketball, and being shorthanded without Nurk is really a difficult blow for them. I would probably have a different opinion if they had Yusuf Nurkic.
Yeah, the way they were playing before he got hurt.
Because he had some pretty damn good games against Oklahoma City this year, but they don't. And so they're going to need other people to step up more than just Dame, and even more so than CJ.
Well, I think it's important to remember, too, that there's a blueprint out there on how teams want to defend Portland. We saw it firsthand last year, and we've seen it really the last couple of years in the playoffs, when there's times throughout the course of a game where some of those guys you just mentioned are going to have ample opportunities to change the course of a game. Aminu is a great example of this. Like, Aminu, for stretches, I guarantee you, of this entire series, will be unguarded. There will be rotations, there will be double teams, and defenders will be leaving him, and he will have countless chances to knock down open shots. And I brought it up the other day because we were talking about Aminu. You go back to that Clipper series 2 years ago when he knocked down like 8 or 9 three-pointers and went off for 30 points. They weren't guarding him. And that won the Blazers a game in this series. And that can be the difference. Maybe this is a close, tightly fought series, and a game from Aminu is what puts you over the top. Like, these role players, we've seen glimpses of them. None of them are consistent, but we've seen glimpses. Aminu's had some great games. Harkless just had the game in L.A. the other night. Seth Curry's been playing really good off the bench, knocking down threes. Rodney Hood's done it every now and then. Like, you've seen glimpses, and you don't need him to do it over the course of every single game of this series. What you can't have is all of them disappear in one or two games.
Right.
Because then it comes down to just Dame and CJ, and it's, well, go win a game with two guys. You have to have some balance offensively. So you don't need all of them every night. You just need one night for it to be Aminu, the next night for it to be Harkless, the next night for it to be Hood or Curry coming off the bench. There has to be a balance from all the role guys for them to win the series.
Well, I think I keep thinking of that last game in the Moda Center where it was hostile, the back and forth between Nurk and Westbrook. Like, they had Nurk. And Dame, I believe, what, finished with 53 in that game?
It was one of the highest scoring games in Blazer. One of the best games in Blazer history.
51, 52, mm-hmm. whatever it was. He went for 50, and they still came up short. And now you don't have the use of Nurkic. The question is, how much more offensively can Cantor help you? Because that was what people also said, was Cantor's better offensively. He's still there. Defensively, is he a liability? And if he is... is Zach Collins capable of coming in and giving you good stretches off the bench? Some people wouldn't buy into that. Maybe there's a shot that he's coming in a little motivated. I don't know. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult for them to win this series. I'm not going to dismiss it and say they get swept. We'll see if that's wrong. I'm not even going to say five. I really liked Ben's pick. I think it is a six-game series. I think Portland is going to win game one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are going to feel good, and they should, because this team has yep. showed real good resilience and fight to end this year. My main thing, and I tweeted this out, I really do believe this. Win or lose, Oklahoma City or OKC, OKC and Utah, didn't matter to me. Just play well.
Yeah, give me a fun competitive series. Give me something that goes long. Give me a couple of wins. Have it be back and forth.
Yes.
I want the energy back around this team. You just didn't have it last year, so I'm hoping we get that. And, you know, I think Ben brought it up, and it's something I'm sure we'll talk about the rest of the day and tomorrow. It's going to take like a two-headed monster approach to replace Nurkic. I think Cantor can do it offensively. He's a capable scorer. You can post him up. Like, He can do things offensively to make the loss of Nurkic not sting so much, where he no-shows is on defense. And that's where you look at guys like Zach Collins. This is year two. He's played in the playoffs last year. Like, you're going to need him to step up on that end, because there's going to be times, I guarantee you, that OKC is attacking Cantor to the point where his offense is not going to be worth it because he's so bad on that end of the floor. You got to throw Collins in there. Even if he picks up a couple of fouls, he has to be good defensively for them to win the series.
Yeah, so we'll read some thoughts on this. Hour two straight ahead. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Also, the other matchups in the NBA playoffs. Hour two, next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.